Detektor FM. Zurück zum Thema.
Mit 18 Jahren hat Patrick Wolf seine erste EP rausgebracht. Danach war der Musiker aus London fast 10 Jahre mehr oder weniger permanent auf Tour. Seine Musik berührt nicht nur auf einer emotionalen Ebene, sondern hat mitunter auch einen politischen Hintergrund. Er fordert mehr Toleranz gegenüber Schwulen, Lesben und Transsexuellen. Und 2013 hat sich Patrick Wolf dann eine Auszeit genommen, hat sich ein eigenes Studio eingerichtet und an neuen Songs gearbeitet. Und die präsentiert er nun live auf seiner Wild Sound Tour. Und wir freuen uns, dass er uns vor seinem Konzert in Leipzig heute hier im Studio besucht. Hello and welcome, Patrick Wolf.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's been a while since we've last witnessed new music and live shows of you. Give us a short recap of the last couple of years. Did you take a break from music or have you been working constantly?
I've been working constantly, I think, since I was like 11 on my music. It never stops, really. I think for me, it's like finding my place and my how comfortable I am with the industry and where I enter it and what point with what I've learned maybe in the last 5 years about relationship with management, with labels and all that stuff. I find the biggest joy in the last 5 years has been to set up my own studio, to have a place where I'm the only person that has the key. And it's a very sacred and safe place to be, to write, get all my instruments out of storage after all the years of touring, and just to completely disconnect from, I guess, the world of Patrick Wolf, you know, and to readdress my life as I used to when I was younger through music. You know, not address the idea of the mess or the success of whatever Patrick Wolf was. It's just as a human being at 30. I think turning 30 was a big change. It was a time to finally grow into something I'd wanted to be for ages, as a writer, as a producer and a singer, as well as human being. So I'd say I'm 32 now. So I guess the last 2 years have been very key. I kind of felt like I realigned the stars a bit into how I wanted to be. Now this is the first step out of the studio with this tour and a single coming soon, yeah.
Okay, also er sagt, er hat, seit er 30 ist, vor allem vor 2 Jahren ist er das geworden, wieder zurückgefunden zu sich. Das war eine große Veränderung für ihn. Er hat eigentlich immer gearbeitet in der ganzen Zeit, die man jetzt nicht so viel von ihm gehört hat, und war froh, als er dann sein eigenes Studio hatte, wo er auch der Einzige war, der den Schlüssel dazu hatte. So, with your music, you've always been very engaged when it comes to equality, to overcoming prejudices. Did you think this is getting better in modern society, or is it rather getting worse regarding the UK Independence Party, or let's say Front National in France?
I'd say it's a massive, the word it, you know, what does it describe? I mean, I've fought my own battles when it came to maybe purely selfish relations to my identity and making sure that had a form of equality. But as they say, charity starts at home, you know, and I guess you have to find, I'm now very comfortable and feel that I'm in my country. There is certainly, I mean, if you think I'm half Irish, half English, that even in Ireland, gay marriage came before abortion. Therefore, I don't know how, you know, the word it kind of seems like a very, very, very complicated essay with a massive book of 10,000 pages. But there's always a sense of justice for the underdog and justice for the person that is shoved out into the corner without a voice in my work since day one.
Also er sagt, das ist eine große Frage, die man gar nicht so leicht beantworten kann. Er meint, er fühlt sich wohler inzwischen, auch in seinem Land. Aber es gibt natürlich immer Dinge, über die man reden muss. Und wie gesagt, das kann man jetzt nicht so schnell abhandeln. Und es sind auch nicht immer Fragen, die er unbedingt in seinen Songs betrachtet hat oder für die er persönlich gekämpft hat. Das sind andere Fragen als die großen Fragen, die auf den politischen Bühnen diskutiert werden. Do you feel any changes or differences when you are touring through Europe in different countries or on conservative countries?
I'd say I can't really comment right now because we've been on tour for 4 days, but I've done a lot of traveling in my time, my 5 years away. I went on a beautiful, for me, it was a journey to these abandoned centers of Oracle and history through Greece. And there was a sense of decay, but then I find every moment in my life that when things are at their most pushed or decaying, then it's actually a time of the good things are about to come through. And I think any sense of conservatism within government and in England always has brought out actually the best in the youth, really, I find. There's always, you know, the harder the right wing, the harder the left wing, and what flourishes in between is normally a lot stronger than without that around it. So I kind of enjoy these moments of chaos, because I think that in the long term, people are challenged to think harder and to love harder and to give more, you know. So maybe it's a nihilistic point of view, first of all, but I would say that's it's always a good time for the world, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, also er sagt, dass auch in Chaos und politischen Differenzen, die größer sind, daraus kann auch was wachsen und eben die andere Seite stärker machen. Deswegen fühlt er sich damit eigentlich gar nicht so unwohl und glaubt, dass es in Zukunft auch was Gutes bringen kann. So, let's talk about the label question. At one point of your career, you were signed to a major label. After the split, you founded your own record label. You already said that. Mm-hmm. You financed your album, The Bachelor, via band stocks with the participation of your fans. Mm. So, looking back at this episode today, going separate ways with the major label, was it the right way?
I'm quite proud that every single one of my albums has been on a different label, because I've actually been able to see, from working with Tom Lab on my second album, their Cologne amazing electronic indie label, and I license my work to them. So I've tried licensing deals, I've tried truly independent, I've tried two major label deals. I never kind of regret anything that kind of collapses out of those things, because what stands the test of time is the work that I made. And that was, whether it was a load of fighting for my creative vision at the time, it always comes out whole as I wanted it to, in the best that I could do at the time. So for me, like all music, I don't think anybody looks back at the work of Joni Mitchell or Bob Dylan or anybody that you love, whether it's like, you know, the Raincoats or the Slits. You don't think, oh, or the Sex Pistols, oh, I love this album, but they got dropped from a major label. The story is in the music and what you put out as an artist. And the kind of the hero part of it is if you keep on going and you keep on working and putting it out there, because I don't know any listener out there who cares about that kind of stuff. Nowadays, all artists have the gift of independence and to work in that way. And the rest is either a bonus or a curse, really.
Okay, also er sagt, er freut sich über seine Unabhängigkeit, die er jetzt hat, ist aber auch stolz, dass er Verschiedenes ausprobiert hat, vom Major-Label bis eben zum ganz eigenen Studio. Aber jede Single, die er produziert hat, ist mit viel Kreativität entstanden und es kam eigentlich trotzdem immer das Beste raus, was zu der Zeit eben möglich war. So there's obviously also a big debate going on about musicians struggling with making a living nowadays, with the low income through streaming being one of the aspects of the discussion. What's your point of view in this?
I've written everything that I've ever done, and I'd say it might be a bigger issue for people that don't write their own music. There's always been that problem for non-writers. So from a perspective of a writer, I'm very happy. Yeah, I think that the more, as a writer, sure, like there's that thing of making money, but for me, it's about as many people hearing it as possible and spreading your music. And with the genius of the system for writers, then actually kind of whether it is 0.11 pence, you know, or cents, for me, that's kind of like, I would be doing this busking to get my work across. I've never been interested in money. And actually, sometimes for the people that care less about money, they actually have a lot better life and enjoy their music, because that's what they've only wanted to share their message. And actually, sometimes through some twist of fate, they're the ones that kind of get looked after because they're less interested in the money. But nonetheless,
you have to eat and go on tour.
Yeah, but for me, this is all part of, this is nothing to do with money. Since I was like a young boy, like I just knew that I wanted to tour, and I didn't even realize you get paid for it, you know. So like, it's all a bonus for me. I'd be homeless, like with a guitar on the street, and I'd be really happy. I've been that before, so you know, I'm not ashamed of going back to it. What I'd be worried about is selling out or changing my vision or my compromising something, because then the story's not complete. I did something for money, but I've written everything, so I've been very lucky. And it's somebody else's battle to fight.
Okay, also er sagt, das ist nicht sein Kampf, den er kämpfen muss, wenn Musiker Geldprobleme haben, weil es eben nicht so viel Geld gibt, weil es das Streaming gibt. Und er sagt, das war für ihn nie ein Problem, weil er eben seine Texte alle selber geschrieben hat und Geld interessiert ihn einfach nicht. Er will seine Musik machen und er würde auch obdachlos mit der Gitarre durch die Welt ziehen, wenn das dann nötig wäre. Aber Kompromisse für Geld gibt's bei ihm nicht.
I'll tell you something else. I think that it's been very skewed in the 90s as well. What an idea of a musician should, you know, what do you deserve out of that? For me, I'm not looking for a mansion. I don't own a house. I never want to own a house. I don't own a car. I don't want a car. For me, it's like staying on the road. That's the joy, to keep on going, keep on working. I'll always find a way to eat. And I do fine. But that's why people should maybe readdress what they want out of life as a musician. because it's certainly not in written in the books of history. The job of an artist or a musician is not to be rich and famous. It's to put out great work and live in a hovel with no sunlight and just eat bread for all the week and just focus on your work and enjoy that, putting it out.
Also für ihn ist das Wesen des Musikmachens nicht, dass man sich dann ein Haus kaufen kann oder ein Auto kaufen kann, das hat er alles nicht, sondern das Musikmachen an sich, durch die Welt zu ziehen, seine Musik eben vorzustellen. Und er sagt, manche sollten sich dann vielleicht auch bewusst werden, was es eben heißt, Künstler oder Musiker zu sein. You've been on tour almost permanently since you were 19, and then you took a break in 2008, refusing tours, interviews, festivals.
No, I didn't want to do it for a bit because it was 2007 was a big push for me. I was 26 years old. And yeah, I had been touring constantly since I was 18. Before that, I left home at 16. So I just had known focusing on that. And I guess I had a bit of a breakdown. I had not really a strong support network around me. And the wonderful thing called the internet was just invented. And so I just wrote this thing one day. I remember being in Berlin and just feeling really alone and lost and just not having anyone around me to say anything. So I just kind of cried for help on the internet. You know, early days, you could kind of, it made a bigger, like, you know, stone in, you know, you throw a tiny stone into a canyon, and it's like back then it was made a massive noise and it got copied and pasted around that I was giving up music forever, all this stuff. But I was just listening to a lot of Kate Bush and dreaming of that moment where you could just start to choose more. And certainly in 2007, nothing stopped. It just got more and more and more, you know. So I'm a very different person. I've done a lot of development with relationship with myself, and I'm very grateful that I was born with some kind of a willpower just to keep going through those moments, really. I didn't stop, and I still haven't really stopped.
You haven't been on the surface, let's say, for the fans.
Well, I don't really do it for anybody. I've continued to stay creative and work in my own way and develop, and that, like, and that's why I think people like what I do, because I don't actually do it for them. I do it for my own self. Discovery of my work and creating and writing, yeah.
Also er sagt, er macht die Musik vor allem auch für sich, und dass es 2007 eben Gerüchte gab, dass er aufhören wird, was aber nicht stimmt. Er hat immer weiter gearbeitet, war vielleicht dann nicht mehr so sichtbar. So the question is you said you've changed a lot. Is your life still the same, touring around, feeling a part of you, being in every part of the world, or have you a more settled life now?
I think that was probably said, if I can guess, when there were like three world tours in a row. My friends used to have to move house for me, so I wouldn't go home. I didn't get to choose a flat, nothing like that. So literally for 3 years, it was Brazil, Japan, America, London, for like half a day, maybe say hi to my parents, then straight off around Europe. That's when you forget where you've left part of your soul, really, on the road. So yeah, there was a point of recovery from all that, definitely. And now, also because I don't work with any management, I choose everything myself now, which is a very important part of growing older, because you kind of lose the authority figure and you choose to become your own authority figure. And that definitely stops you from feeling fragmented because somebody else decided that's, you know, they don't see the human being there. But I'm not complaining about any of it. I mean, God, it was an amazing experience. But yes, I think that's a very honest quote to somebody saying when they've been 3 years on the road, yeah.
Also als er 3 Jahre auf Tour war, hat er mal gesagt, er fühlt sich wie in 1000 Teile zerteilt, die überall auf der Welt liegen. Und das hat sich jetzt schon ein bisschen gebessert, weil er auch eben alleine entscheiden kann, wann er auf Tour geht, wie er auf Tour geht. Und da ist er auch dran gewachsen. So, you've been working with artists like Tilda Swinton, Marianne Faithfull. Elton John is a good friend of yours. I've been reading.
He's not. No. No. I'd say
also a Wikipedia rumor. Or?
I was invited to his AIDS benefit ball. Yeah, and that was fun. You know, it's fun. The thing is, I'd say more than anything, if you think of what I was doing the last few years, I met Patti Smith about 4 years ago. We started playing properly together. We met before at a poetry festival. And that's really been an interesting way to go on the road and to see things through a different dynamic of artist and band relationship and music. And so that's been a really, in a way, like going to school or something, learning so much from that experience. So it might not be something that I've been doing as Patrick Wolf, but, you know, as a musician, seeing a lot. That's been my main collaborator and mentor, and just it's been a great experience there. Elton John was a good party. Once upon a time, ja. Yeah.
Also ja, Elton John, der wohl auch manchmal gesagt wird, das ist ein guter Freund von ihm, ist, das stimmt nicht, sondern er war einmal auf einer Party bei Elton John, das war eine gute Party. Wer für ihn mehr ein Mentor ist, das ist Patti Smith. Last question, what's so great about Blümchen and her song Boomerang? We heard you like that.
Oh, when I was recording the Bachelor album, I was working at Alec Empire's studio called the Hellish Vortex in Berlin. And I stayed there for a week, and a lot of what we were doing was kind of like anger management. I was so angry about so much in the world, and we were going through these really dark moments of channeling that in this kind of very concrete bunker of a studio. And I think he saw me going down quite a dark path, and I think to make me happy, he was like, have you ever heard this song Boomerang? So he's playing this, like, the way to get me out of that mood was like playing 170 BPM video of a girl on roller skates going boom, 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 boomerang. And yeah, so it's always been a song that reminds me of that. Yeah.
So any other discoveries of that sort in the meantime?
Oh, that, yes, it was a week of much discovery. Yeah, I think that I realize that most people that have that really nihilistic dark side have to balance it with an amazing sense of humor and lightness that they keep very secret. And that's something I've always made sure I have when I go down that route too.
Would you still take out the song and listen to it when you're in a bad mood?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I have no snobbery about any music, yeah. Whether in roller skates or not, or about boomerangs or not, it's like whatever it does for you right there, you know.
Da lächelt Patrick Wolf. Er hat damals Blümchen und ihren Song Boomerang gehört oder wurde ihm vorgespielt, damit er aus einer schlechten Laune rauskommt. Und das würde er auch immer noch heute nochmal sich anhören, wenn es ihm mal wieder nicht so gut geht. Patrick Wolf ist zu Gast bei Detektor FM, aktuell auf Tour, stellt neue Songs vor und bald können wir uns auf ein neues Album freuen. Die Live-Version gibt es dann heute Abend im UT Connewitz in Leipzig, morgen Abend in Essen. Und demnächst geht's dann erstmal wieder zurück nach Großbritannien. Patrick Wolf, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Okay, see you later.
Alle Beiträge, Reportagen und Interviews können Sie jederzeit nachhören im Netz auf detektor.fm.